Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
I want to just go back in time a little bit, a few months ago. And we here at the radio station, I believe, probably were one of the very few voices to stand up for young Fine Gael President Cillian Foley Walsh. You may remember the story after he and some colleagues were targeted online for attending a conference in Washington, D.C., held by the Young Americas Foundation. Now, I'm just going to read this here. It's a quick reminder of what happened, just to give you an update and just to bring you up to speed on it. Fine Gael politicians called on Cillian to resign his position as president of Young Fine Gael due to the fact that he attended a conference in his own private time in Washington hosted by Young Americas Foundation. It is a conservative-leaning conference, there's no doubt about that. And you might think there must be more to this for someone to be asked to resign. You say, gosh, he must have done something terribly wrong. But no, his only crime, if that's what you want to call it, was attending the conference that I suppose you could say goes against the narrative of the liberal left. He met Vice President Pence. He listened to a speech by Senator Ted Cruz. He met presumably some of the young supporters of President Trump. And worst of all, he actually enjoyed it. This then sparked, of course, what can only be described as hysteria. Times move on quickly, and it's very likely that most people who read and consume the news about Cillian Foley Walsh have forgotten his name at this stage. But what everyone forgets is there is a person, a human being, behind that particular story at the time. And Cillian was left dealing with the damage caused by that particular outrage, I suppose, is what you call it. He stepped down as Young Fine Gael president because his term of office has come to an end, and it's customary to give a farewell speech, which he did. And what Mr. Foley Walsh did on the, was very extraordinary. He talked about the impact that those few days of media coverage had for him in August, and he joins us on the line. Cillian, good afternoon to you.
How's it going, Niall? How are you?
Good. Cillian, you know, I don't want to harp on too much about exactly what happened and at the time it happened, because I'm sure it brings back lots of bad memories to you. I mean, just to clarify, you went there in your own private time. You were asked to resign by Noel Rock, Maria Walsh, who was only in the, I suppose, really in politics a wet day. And many other people were asking you to resign for attending a conference. How did you feel when all of a sudden the limelight was on you? Your picture was all over the paper, all over the internet, and all this abusive stuff was being said about you.
Yeah, well, it was a funny old time. I wouldn't even have minded as much if they'd picked a better picture, to be honest. It was a fairly rough one how they chose. But yeah, no, look, a lot of people had a lot to say around that time. And, you know, I wouldn't for a second dispute anybody's right to contribute or whatever. But I suppose what I took particular issue with was the sort of the personal tone, I suppose, of a lot of it, which turned otherwise, you know, sort of reasonable criticism into just, you know, unreasonable abuse and that sort of stuff. And it took a toll, you know.
At the time, I remember there's a quote from the Irish Examiner, and I'm going to read it out here. Young Fine Gael President Cillian Foley Walsh attended the Young Americas Foundation conference in Washington, D.C., along with Young Fine Gael's social media officer, Chloe Kennedy. It is disproportionate to compare the conference visit with the events of El Paso, Ohio, of course, in Walmart, where many people were killed. But there is a commonality. That in itself sounds like, you know, it sounds like you were almost there for some sort of hate rally.
Yeah, well, I mean, aside from the fact that there's a comparison made there between me and a mass murdering racist lunatic, you know, that quote speaks for itself, I think, and a lot of reasonable people, I think, who would hear that would draw their own fairly reasonable conclusions from it. I know I did. But yeah, no, that was definitely the tone of some of the stuff that was coming out. And then, I mean, aside from that, there was other stuff, you know, about how, there were death threats involved. Somebody got a hold of my mother's number, texted her to tell her what an awful job she did rearing my brother and I and everything else. And it's an insipid hate campaign, you know, that gets whipped up out of nowhere and directed individuals by strangers. And I suppose that may be why it happens. It's only when the individual you're talking about is a stranger that's really the only time that you get into it, I find, you know.
You're not denying that you're conservative in your views. You're not denying
Definitely
that
not,
you would
no.
be right-leaning in your views, but that seems to be almost a crime nowadays.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, what has to be noted, I think, to be honest, is that, and I learned this over the course of August as well, and I've learned it since, is that Twitter is not Ireland, you know. And thank God for that. But Twitter is not Ireland. There's a small percentage of the Irish public is on Twitter, and it can definitely become a particular...
Toxic. I've seen it. I've witnessed it.
It can turn a particular way that time, but the important thing to remember is that when you walk down the street, you know, the vast majority of people have no idea what goes on there, and they, by extension, have no idea who you are, you know. So sort of a storm in a teacup on Twitter is nothing to be overly concerned about. But at the time, like, you know, it's difficult to look at things that way. It's difficult to look at things rationally.
No, I understand. I work in media, Killian, and, you know, there has been times in the show over the last 9 years where I've, you know, put out an opinion, be it on Twitter or be it on television or be it on radio.
Slated for it.
And you get torn apart. And I can understand the personal, you know, effect that can have on you. Now, I'm dealing with it on a daily basis where it may not be something you were more for, and the majority of human beings are not used to probably dealing with something like that. How did it manifest itself in you? Like, I mean, what way did you deal with that?
Poorly at the time, I'll be honest. I mean, you know, you've got, you know, people breathing down your neck and all that sort of stuff. It's important, I suppose, in the short term to try and ignore them, basically, you know, to cut them out and that sort of stuff, because life is too short, to be honest. But it's more as time goes on, you know, when the journalists stop calling, when the headlines stop being written and everything else, but there can still be this sort of underlying insidious undertone, if you like, again, on the likes of Twitter and that sort of stuff, where your name will crop up every so often or something will appear in the news and then, oh, well, did Killian Foley Walsh anything to do with that in a pejorative sense?
Oh, yeah, you'll always refer to, oh, that's your man who went over to the conference.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, in fairness, now, some of it can be kind of funny. I saw one guy today, I think it was actually only about 2 weeks ago, really went to town on my name. A lot of people really get a kick out of the whole double barrel and everything else, you know. Mm. So one guy decided to describe me as, I wondered, did Killian Foley, Montgomery, Windsor, Mountbatten, Walsh, or whatever, mm-hmm. have anything to do with that, you know. But, you know, I shouldn't be on that guy's radar, you know, as far as I'm concerned. And I certainly shouldn't be somebody who comes to mind for him when he wants to take a pop or anything like that. So it's more that sort of stuff.
I mean, you're a young man, you're entering, I hope it hasn't put you off politics, by the way, but so you're a young man, sure. You're entering politics. I mean, you, on a very serious note, at that time, during the worst point of that, you also engaged in self-harm.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, what's fanned this up a little bit more this week, I think, is, as you said, my term finished up at our national conference last weekend down in Carlow. And I stood up, I made my farewell speech, I spoke from my heart.
Leo Varadkar was there in the front seat, I believe.
He was, exactly, yeah. And Leo Varadkar himself is an immensely supportive
Did he come out to support you at the time, or has he come out to support you since? And to support your right
time,
to have a view?
No. No. He didn't at the time, I think, but he spoke very very kindly and very supportively of me, I think, on Saturday, you know, and had kind words and all that sort of stuff, and basically echoing what I was saying, which was that it is wrong to pile in on people online, you know. Mm-hmm. It is wrong to do it. It's important to remember, as I said, that there's flesh and blood on the other end of your tweet and everything else, and even if you hate that flesh and blood with every fiber of your being, as a lot of people unfortunately do, there's flesh and blood around that flesh and blood, if you like. There are families, there are friends, there are partners and that sort of stuff. And they suffer from it as well. So,
and were you surprised at the reaction of some of the individuals? Maria Walsh, for example, had a go at you at the time. And Noel Rock, who we interviewed at the time it happened, we interviewed Noel here and challenged him on the station in relation to, you know, your experiences and your trip to Washington. Were you surprised at some of the people who you thought may have supported you or stood up for you who didn't?
I wasn't. I mean, like, for Maria's part, I mean, she and I spoke over the weekend, and as far as I'm concerned, we're all square now, you know. I haven't spoken to Noel, but I did speak to Maria, and as far as I'm concerned, we're all square. So, you know, that's just one of those things. But was I surprised to be getting texts at the time saying so-and-so has said such-and-such, and so-and-so has said such-and-such, have you got any comment? Yes, I was. I was very surprised. And, you know, it'd be wrong if I said I wasn't disappointed, but at the same time, you know, I suppose in this day and age where, you know, maybe some people might feel that if they didn't immediately, you know, come out and castigate me or whatever, that they might then be the next in line or something, or to try and put distance.
Were you tempted? I know you didn't give any interviews at the time, But were you tempted to stand up for yourself and you know, utilize your right to reply? Were you not tempted to do that?
You would be, yeah. But I mean, at the same time, like, you know, in those circumstances, the best thing to do more often than not is just to try and kill it, you know, just ignore and let it
and
die
hope
off,
it'll go
you
away.
Know?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think it's a pretty solid piece of advice, you know, that there's no point in fanning the flames on these things. Because ultimately as well, and I said this in my speech, like, a lot of people aren't particularly interested in what you have to say for yourself or what you have to say in response. They have formed a view and they're going to stick to it. And, you know, no matter what you say, they will twist it and turn it and everything
else.
What
was surprising at the time, and I said it to Noel Rock at the time, who, by the way, was an intern for Hillary Clinton, and I don't think he remembered that at the time, but I pointed it out to him. What was surprising was, you know, the right-wing views that they cited was your opposition to abortion and gay marriage, which, of course, views that were held by Leo Varadkar himself and Simon Harris, both held those views in 2011. The Taoiseach himself attended many conferences of that nature in his youth. And it doesn't note that the Taoiseach himself actually worked for a Republican US congressman who opposed abortion and gay marriage and supports the right to bear arms. So these individuals had all gone through what you had gone through as young men, but yet they were, none of them came out to stand up for you or support you. That's what surprised me more than anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose clarification, it was really only abortion, I think, was most people's bugbear. I mean, most people, I have been pretty forthright in my position being pro-life and everything else, you know, and sticking to that belief.
This is a crime, by the way. You know,
far from it, yeah, well, I'm not in prison, so, you know, self-evidently. It would be if some people had their way, I'm sure, but it's not currently, so I'll continue to live in the confines of the law, but sometimes that can then get sort of extrapolated, you know. So you mentioned opposition to gay marriage. I'm actually very in favor of gay marriage. I hope to get married myself someday. You know, immediately people come back and they'll say, oh, he's pro-life, so therefore anti-woman, he's homophobic and all this sort of stuff. And people were even saying that in response to my speech on Saturday, in which I shouted out my boyfriend and everything else, you know. So if people would actually listen to the speech before commenting on it, they might then be able to...
Well, this is the most bizarre part of the thing, you know, that people were... This is the bizarre part that people were calling you a homophobe. And the fact, of course, that you do support...
Tell me about it.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, getting back to the more serious part, but what made you engage in self-harm? I mean, what got you to that point? At what point was that?
Well, the first thing to understand, I suppose, and look, I mean, I've only spoken for, in any way publicly, you know, for the first time the last few days, and even since then I've had a lot of friends coming back to me and almost castigating me for not coming to them and explaining my issues and that sort of stuff to them, because they felt like, you know, they're beating themselves up saying, why didn't we see this, you know,
why did we notice, yeah,
you know, why did we believe excuses and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, the fact of the matter, and certainly when it comes for, you know, to me, I couldn't speak for anybody else, when it comes to me, it's not you're not in a rational state of mind, Niall. You know, you're really not, you know, at the time you're angry, you're frustrated, you're this, that, and the other, and you feel wrongly that the only way to deal with all that is to effectively take it out on yourself, you know, and so that's what I felt at the time, and I mean, it wasn't helped, and I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a factor, but it definitely wasn't helped by some of the tone of the stuff that I was seeing online, you know, that I was a fascist, that I was scum, that I should die, that I was this, that, and the other. I mean, I was reared well, you know. My parents, I think, you know, built a strong, resilient, you know, opinionated, you know.
Oh, I watched your speech earlier on there today, and I think your parents should be very proud of you.
Yeah, well, thank you, and I'm sure they're very, you know, I hope they are, and I hope they are proud of me and my family and everything else, but at the same time, you know, eventually things do take a toll, and I mean, this thing went international. I had American media talking about it, I had the British Brexit media trying to trump it up as some sort of a civil war in Varadkar's party, which is why he's being so tough on Brexit. Those guys will cling to anything over there.
And is there a fear, Killian, now that you're speaking out about it? And I know you did give an interview during the week and you're speaking to us today. But is there a fear that now that you're speaking out about it, that it's going to bring it all back again? Is that a fear?
Not as such, to be honest, now, if I'm being honest. I mean, again, I've been looking at Twitter and that sort of stuff. I mean, I deleted Twitter at the time because it just got, back in August, I mean, because it got so massive. But I've been looking back at it now, and there's a lot of support. A lot of people recognize that, again, you know, they can disagree with me, they can disagree with any views I might hold or anything like that, But there's a way to express the disagreement, and it doesn't involve death threats, and it doesn't involve swearing and blinding and names and all that sort of jazz. And personal abuse.
I mean, there does seem to be a narrative at the moment, particularly on Twitter, where there's an attack on freedom of expression. So unless you express the same views as, I suppose, the liberal left, I suppose you're fair game. And that seems to be the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'd be lying if I said that wasn't certainly my experience. What I just can't get my head around is what on earth possesses someone to, you know, look at somebody who they don't know and just, you know, join in with everybody else and call them every name under the sun. I made clear over the weekend, I mean, you know, I've been there, you know, I'm no angel, and it's been well documented that I'm not and everything else, you know, so far be it for me to pontificate. But I can say this now, having, you know, been on the receiving end, if you like, and it was more than a few days as well. Really, that news cycle dragged on for a month with the articles that were being written about it. Now, in fairness, the narrative did eventually change. It went from sort of, you know, isn't he the worst in the world, to, for God's sake, you know, calm down, you know. But at the same time, it was spoken about for a very long time. But yeah, there's definitely, I feel, a sort of the bell to the crozier hasn't gone away.
I think the real message here is that, you know, look, these situations happen on a regular basis, and the real message is, here's what you're trying to say to people, is that, okay, disagree with somebody, call them a gobshite if you want to, and disagree with them and have your say and speak if you want to speak. Nobody wants to stop anybody from speaking, but to take it personally and to make it personal and to, you know, suggest or death threats or to suggest somebody should take their own lives or whatever, or take it out on somebody else's family, you have to remember there's a human being behind it and they have feelings.
100%. That's literally it. I mean, like, and what happens more often than not is people will turn around and say, oh, you know, he's just trying to shirk valid criticism and all that. And even I've seen that again in discussion over the past few days, people being very selective in their memory, saying, oh, you know, you weren't attacked personally, you're only criticized for your past comments and that sort of stuff. And I wasn't. I mean, that's just not the case, you know.
I did witness some of the stuff that was said about you at the time, and I thought it was absolutely outrageous. But listen, I appreciate you coming on the air and talking today, and I wish you well, Killian, and I think you have a bright future in politics, all right?
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. So long. Bye-bye.
There's Killian Foley Walsh, a young man with a bright future in politics, and just because he might have a different view to some other people who may not hold the same views as him, unfortunately, he was abused to the point where he started to self-harm, which is absolutely shocking. And not only abused, but asked to resign by some of his own party members as well, which is bizarre. And then Leo Varadkar was there when he stepped down from his presidency the other day. Leo Varadkar, a man himself, by the way, who would have attended conferences in his young days, a man himself who held more or less the same type of views probably as a young man, and yet didn't stand up to support this young man. I don't remember him standing up to support him. And I thought that was absolutely, it's just wrong on every level. If you disagree with somebody, you know, go online if you want, or call them a gobshite if you want, or disagree with them, or give them some reason why you disagree with them. But don't get personal with people and call them names, or suggest they should die, or anything like that, or suggest their mother brought them up badly. Or, I mean, that's not how debate works, you know, just because you don't agree with somebody. People are allowed to hold different views in life. People be conservative, they can be liberal. You know, I mean, look, we see it in America at the moment, don't we, with Trump.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.